College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Do you feel good about where you are right now, physically, mentally?
I got a lot of work to do, a lot of room for improvement. So that's what I'm focused on.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Dan Ball sitting in for Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Hey.
Grills.
Oh, you're not.
No, go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
Nope, we're done here.
Okay.
That was the voice of Kyle Duggar, not singing, the one that preceded the song, who had tied for a team high 6 tackles last night. 6 solo tackles in extended action.
I'd say.
Had an interception in the end zone. Thank you, Jameis Winston.
He was out there long enough to get 6 tackles.
He was.
Yeah.
And he said he's got a lot to work on. He does say elsewhere last night in some of his interviews talked about the scheme. Because if you remember Mike Vrabel a week ago or so, somebody said, what does he have to do to work back into the mix? And he's like, know where he's supposed to be, know what he's doing in this scheme.
Not that direct, but it was
close.
He was basically saying that.
And Duggar said, you know, the scheme is different. I'm learning. I'm trying to get back to playing at full speed, he said. Now, he didn't necessarily differentiate physical or mental full speed.
Right.
Right? Like
coming off an injury versus learning how and where to be.
Good way to word it.
Is ankle holding you back? Head holding you back? Combination of the two holding you back?
Yeah, he doesn't want you to think it's his head holding him back.
Right. So
say it for that reason.
But he was definitely out there for a long time. Definitely made some plays. As I said, a couple pass defenses, an interception, which was really a miscommunication between Winston and whoever his receiver was in the end zone.
Still an INT.
But it counts. So he's got a couple INTs in the end zone. So he's making some plays.
It doesn't mean as much the fact that it's coming from Jameis Winston, because that's pretty much what he does.
Well on his way to another 30-30 season, if that's how he's throwing
the ball. Oh, well, he was perfect. Yeah. You got the Jameis Winston experience.
That was him.
He comes in first play, drops a dime for a touchdown,
goes nuts,
then throws a pick. That's the Jameis Winston experience.
They got to trade him, right? I know this is a side topic, but wouldn't you think there's a team out there that could give a little something for him?
Kirk Herbstreit brought up teams have to be calling the Giants and looking at it like, you have more quarterbacks than we do.
I mean, they got 4 semi-legit. I mean,
they've
DeVito
all won games.
In and balled.
Absolutely.
Yeah, DeVito won games last year, and Jameis, Jackson Dart, Jackson Dart was brilliant last night. What did Will Fleming say about Jackson Dart's mom there, Stiz?
Stiz, what did Will Fleming say?
And you can't take your eyes off his mom.
That's right, your eyes off
his
mom. I
forgot he said that.
I would not. To me, there's teams calling the Giants about their quarterback situation.
Just a quick side note, since you brought up Jackson Dart's mom, they interviewed her during the game.
Oh, yeah.
And
lucky us.
They did a joke or something about, like, sliding, and she did the, Dable will get that out of him. The way she just said Dable, not like Coach Dable or Brian, she goes, Dable will coach that out of him. Made me laugh.
Yeah, they're very comfortable. All right, you can tell Dabo loves him some Jackson Dart. It was interesting. I saw an interaction between DeVito and Tommy DeVito and Jackson Dart, and Jackson Dart kind of just, to me, he looks, I bet you that's going to be an interesting, his personality I think is going to rub guys wrong.
Jackson Dart?
Yep, yeah. There's a little something to his personality.
He rubs me wrong sometimes.
It's going to just wait. You know, this is a guy who's been told he's all that, and he thinks he's all that, and the head coach is fawning over him, so he feels like he has more power than he probably should, and so it's going to create problems down the road. Just mark my word on
that. Okay, so since we're down this road real quick, what do we think of the one eye black thing that he does?
Play an NFL game first.
I don't really care for it.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Not a huge fan.
Okay.
It's a bit of a hard-o move,
bit. Which normally I embrace.
Yeah, no, weird. I'm a little surprised by that.
And also, the guy with no sleeves should also embrace the hard-o move. Yeah.
I feel like that's more a college move. I feel like the NFL might beat that out of him.
That's how I think.
And yeah.
So anyway, but let's get back to the Patriots. Kyle Duggar. Let's start there because he was out there. He was talking post-game. What do we think of his standing? Like, is he on the Patriots? Is he on the trade block? Is he on the Patriots if they can't trade him? If they can't trade him, is he cut? Where have we landed now? Is the Patriots are already making cuts. We're going down that road.
Right.
They've made 11 cuts. They're going to get down to 53 by Tuesday.
I'm sure he's on the trade block. I would think him and Anthony Jennings are both squarely front and center on the trade block for everybody to see. Jennings, because of the contract, I could see being more of an attractive trade piece where you could get something for him.
Yep.
I'm just not sure that teams are going to bite on Duggar enough to where you're going to end up moving him. So I'm kind of leaning, Ted, I think he makes the team. I think he, not to say that he's going to play a ton, especially at the beginning, while, as he admits, he continues to learn the new scheme and where to fit in, but I struggle to see them being willing to eat that kind of dead money for that player without any sample size in the regular season, seeing if he can learn the play style or not. So yeah, I think he's here for the time being.
I think they probably keep usually on average around five safeties. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the top five safeties on this team.
Same.
So it's hard for me to justify, releasing him. And if they release him, it's because they didn't want to pay him the cash.
$9 million, right? $9 million salary, part of his $15 million cap hit.
Yeah.
The dead cap hit is around 14 and change, I believe. We had a texter ask that. You're paying, either way, you're probably paying him around $14 to $15 million on your books this year.
Yeah. And let me guys. So the first drive they went down, the Giants went down, ding ding boom boom boom,
mm-hmm.
and they score on a touchdown. It was a really, really nice little play design. I'm sure Brian Daboll was really excited about this because he put a guy in short motion that showed Jackson Dart that the Patriots were in man to man. They put the tight end, flexed him out a little bit up against Battle 35, but Battle had a man to man, but with outside leverage because he knew he had middle of the field safety. The middle of the field safety wasn't even close to where the play where he should have been to help make a play on that. The outside guy is Battle is going to, right at the snap of the ball, position himself on the outside to force the guy inside to where his help is, and you're expecting help. You know who was playing middle of the field safety?
Ooh. Just going to guess. I'm going to throw it out. Duggar.
No.
Oh.
It was the rookie.
Where are we going?
Craig Woodson.
Oh. Because they played him. They played him and Peppers more because they wanted to see how they played off of each other. And I guess there's your early answer.
And so if I'm Duggar, I'm watching this film and I'm like, all right, you guys want to put a rookie out there, huh?
The okay. Eraser. That's his name. His okay. nickname. Well, he erases everything.
Except for that touchdown.
Well, he erased the lead you could have had by giving up
a
touchdown.
I'm just telling you that on that play, would Kyle Duggar have not made that mistake? You know, he might be a step slower, but is he, you know, he's a 6-year NFL veteran. That counts for something. Craig Woodson, who you're thinking of playing and keeping over Kyle Duggar, is still a rookie.
Right. So
who will make rookie mistakes?
The position. So it's Woodson, Peppers, Hawkins, Epps, and then you throw Schooler in the mix.
Oh yeah.
So that's your group that you're keeping without Duggar. I mean, you have potential. You have young guys who are growing and clearly kind of figuring it out on the fly. But is he really that much worse? Where you're not going to at least keep him in the room as a guy who can contribute?
Because
that's the bar. You're not talking about a all-pro safeties that he's competing with. It's young, unproven guys who could probably use a little bit of help from a veteran.
Where does it go? So where do you justify keeping Kyle Duggar? How can coaches justify keeping him? What is the next thing they would think of with Kyle Duggar?
Special teams.
There you go. Can he – if the younger guys, the Eppses and the those guys are – making plays on special teams and Kyle Duggar isn't, then it's easier to justify letting him go.
Right.
Does Kyle Duggar give you anything on special teams? It would help make his case to stay on
sure.
the team.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is a contributor on special teams. And I would even back up just a step further. What's the argument? Well, if you're putting together your best football team of 53 guys, he's on it. In your little world, Dan Ball. And we should mention 5:30. We're going to take a look at Dan Ball's initial roster projection that we're going to use as a leaping off point to kind of put together a afternoon.
Very rough.
Whatever.
Projection.
You're jumping off point. It's for me to just tear apart.
Wow, you're going to tear Dan Ball apart?
Just rip it.
Look at how he's dressed. He's ready to tear anything apart right now.
He is ready. He's frothing at the mouth.
53-man roster.
But
you're going to be amazed how many bad Patriots players there are.
What you just said is so true. And if you don't keep Duggar and you keep Peppers as sort of the bigger box safety guy, and then Peppers gets hurt or mm-hmm. Peppers does whatever Peppers do to make him miss time, that went a whole different way last year. He missed time last year for weird reasons.
He did.
If that happens, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, 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 what happened to our safety room?
Yeah.
Like that's how Brendan Schooler could be on the field playing safety. I don't have a lot of confidence in those other guys as known commodities. In fact,
no.
I have
no confidence in those other guys as known commodities.
You don't want all of a sudden it's Craig Woodson, a rookie, with, you know, these other guys, Del Pettis and Jalen Hawkins, who are what, in their second, third years.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's a young secondary.
I've come full circle on this because money is irrelevant to me. I look at your books and say, you have $59 million of cap space.
But you have to think how the Patriots think. Money is relevant to them.
Well, which one of the Patriots? Because I think Mike Vrabel should think, if he's what you tell me he is and what I think he is, Mike Vrabel wants the best 53 football players.
Yeah, but and I think it, that only goes so far. That only goes so far until you're eating millions of dollars of dead cap.
Okay.
I would think, right? I mean,
Blame it on Elliott. I'm just trying to win football.
Oh, well, they're
going to
do that.
I think that Kyle Duggar, if they keep him or cut him, is going to show you who has more power.
Interesting. Okay, that's an interesting drill.
We're going to use the fact either he gets cut or he gets left on the roster as a barometer as to who has the real power over there in Foxborough.
If he stays, I'm assuming this is where you're going. If he stays, it means Mike Vrabel has the power because he kept his best 53 football players, certainly his best defensive players, athletes, guys that can play special teams. If he goes, then it was a business maneuver through the Kraft/Wolf world of, we can't pay that guy $9 million to be a fourth safety, fifth safety, right? That's interesting. We'll keep an eye on that next Tuesday. If Duggar's here, it's a good move for Mike Vrabel and his power.
So we're aligned that he's here, right?
We are. We'll see if he's
actually
here.
He's not.
Oh,
no, I think they should keep him.
Yeah.
But I don't think they will.
Gotcha. Okay, for the purse strings reason we just discussed.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I don't like purse string reasons. I don't like purse string reasons at all. Like, the purse strings, what?
Shouldn't be a factor.
You get $60 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're making money. The NFL makes money hand over fist.
$10
billion.
I don't know what your middle name is, but it's not A.H. that signs those checks.
When it's not his purse.
Yeah, right. It's amazing.
Stiz, they get cut. What's the check you can Google from national TV? They get like $310 million right off the top. They just hand you that covers all your player expenses right off the top.
Yeah.
Before you sell a ticket, before you sell a beer or a popcorn. Or anything. Do they want to win?
$432 million.
Okay, it's way more than I thought. You get $432 million before you do anything because of the TV contract.
Do I got to remind you who spent the least amount of cash money in the last 32 years? What ownership group in the NFL?
You don't need
32 teams.
But I thought they wanted to win.
They want to win doing it their way and cheaply. That's how they want to win.
They want to have their cake and eat it too.
You could buy the Connecticut Sun with that money.
Get it on clearance.
And have plenty of leftover to build a building for them to practice in and whatever the hell else you want to do. 617-779-7937. What were your thoughts on the Patriots preseason finale? Kyle Duggar, lots of reps. Is he on the roster? Is he off the roster? And does that say something about where the power lies in Foxborough based on that decision? Up next, we do need to touch on Mike Vrabel's post-game comments regarding another bust of a second-round pick in Jalen Polk. Will he be on the roster? Will he not be on the roster? Is he having surgery? Why do we know about it? I know one thing, Mike Vrabel's not happy. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
There's a report today that Jalen Polk will have to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No, I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from. You know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
Tell me how you really feel, Mike Vrabel.
That's a good line.
It's some insight into his leadership style, though.
But,
don't you think?
You know, he didn't just say, he could have said leaks or sources. He said rats.
And when you associate that term to what he's talking about, it's obviously a negative connotation.
Very, very, very negative.
Yeah.
Now, so that was post-game last night, and if you couldn't hear, the question was in regards to Jalen Polk and the reports that he was going to have season-ending shoulder surgery, he would be on IR. Obviously, Jalen Polk's bigger story was disappointing rookie season, might get cut in his second season as a second-round pick. So that's the background to where we are. He had no update and wants to get rid of the rats around here.
The rats that what, though?
Wherever that report came from.
That fed it to Jordan Schultz, who then posted it yesterday.
Is the report not true?
Well, I think that's a fair question.
So when he says rats, he just, what is he not, what, how, that to me is a report that's going to get out. Like, what is there to not get out or worry about getting out?
Well, on the old show with Christian Arkin, we used to have a sniff test. This, mm-hmm. this whole thing doesn't pass the sniff test. I told you, Ted, my initial reaction is they're saving face. He's not really hurt, or it's an injury he could have played through, and they're doing the surgery so that he can be on IR so that then when they cut him, it's actually year three. Because you've said it, year two, second-round pick is, like, it's historically bad.
Correct.
To cut a guy.
And just so the Patriots have never cut a guy.
Right.
Going into before the start of their second season that was drafted in the second
right.
round.
So you
it'd
can't.
The first time they've ever done it, if they did.
You can't really crap all over Bill Belichick's drafting year after year, and even Robert Kraft's gotten into that. We've gotten in trouble drafting, haven't had good drafts, and then go out and do something that no matter how bad Bill was, he never did. You have to cut your second round pick. So I thought they were going to put him on IR potentially to just save face. Maybe the agent's involved. Maybe the information comes from the agent. The other thing that I thought about.
He wouldn't call the agent a rat.
Okay. Who would he call a rat?
He'd call.
You want me to say it or you want to say it? Ironically, it's a wolf that he calls a rat. That's what I would say. Like, if we think there's yep. one guy who's here mm-hmm. who you seem to believe, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Why do you believe?
I like this theory.
Why do you believe Elliot Wolf is here?
Just to make sure that he's there to give cliff notes of every single meeting to Robert Kraft.
So does that smell like a rat? Sound like a rat?
Smells ratty to me.
Okay.
It smells Wolf a little pack. Ratty to me.
So Elliot, like, is, and we may be making too much of this. I mean, fully embrace it. If you want to get,
that's the only thing that makes sense. Like, is he calling out the players? No.
Right.
Who's he calling out? Is it one of the
doctor?
Whoever leaked it to the press. Who would leak something like that to the press? Who has the most to gain?
Elliot Wolf.
Boom.
Why? Because my receiver doesn't stink. He's hurt. Got a shoulder injury that's been limiting him all summer. Or you would have seen the year two jump that would have made him worth the second round pick that I used on him.
Vrabel can't get Elliot Wolf's draft picks out here fast enough.
Yeah, it's true. Very true. Anybody who has any ties to the old regime, the roster percentage was around 50% 2 months ago that Reese reported.
It's getting less and less. I mean, Duggar looks like he's on the way out. You got Cole Strange. I mean, first and second round draft picks
gone
are going to be gone here in about a day or two.
Yes.
So Elliot Wolf's drafts, I mean, anything he's had any of his fingerprints on are pretty much gone now.
So is this a bad sign?
Define bad.
Well, I mean, I guess you're right. If he just gets rid of Wolf and now we're all on one page and it's Cowden and Stretch and everybody kind of full speed ahead with one mind.
I think Wolf is almost gone no matter what.
Not under Ted's theory.
Not under Ted's theory.
If Wolf is working for Kraft, then only Kraft can get rid of him. And unless
he's not going anywhere.
The only way he goes somewhere is if the Patriots have a great year. This is my theory. This is just a working theory. If the Patriots go out and go 11-6 and make the playoffs and Mike Vrabel goes, okay, I proved to you I can do it.
Yeah,
now I want full power. Get rid of that guy. You don't need to have eyes and ears in my meetings.
He has to win. The only way Bill got all the power he did
is because
he won the Super Bowl in 2001.
Ding, ding, ding.
So win, and that's what gets you power.
Because otherwise, Vrabel can be unhappy. He can talk about rats in press conferences. He can do whatever he wants. And Robert,
I like that we flushed that out.
We did.
You know what?
It could
rats,
all be
rats,
fake.
Rats. What is he? Who's he talking about? Who ratted what? What information that was probably going to get out there anyway?
Right.
Like, I think we broke it, man.
Like you believe there's a narc. You believe there's somebody inside the building that is not all. You know, we're not pulling the rope
in
the
not
same
a
direction.
Player, right. A player wouldn't know that information.
No.
So it narrows it down to what? Coaches and front office people.
Theoretically. I guess a doctor could be involved if a surgery was actually scheduled. I guess it could go through a doctor's office.
True.
Which, in my mind, isn't really a rat.
It's
like,
no.
If you had a source, a good reporter could, the secretary at the doctor's office who scheduled the surgery time could tell somebody and be like, that's good information. Is she a rat? No,
yeah.
She's just a source.
Yeah, it's not a rat. It's a HIPAA violation is what
right,
it is. Like, yeah, great, great, fantastic. Yeah, and kind of to your point, I mean, because of how many people Vrabel brought in around, above, and below him, there's only so many people who would not know to keep your mouth shut, who wouldn't be pulling in the same direction just because of the fact that it's kind of Wolf and Matt Groh and then everybody else that's in line with Vrabel.
That is fair. That is very fair. We tend to fixate on Elliot Wolf. Matt Groh is still lingering.
Doing
Matt Groh is still around.
Thing.
So he could be a rat. He's from the previous regime. He has a long history here. He was in power. What was that, three drafts ago? The Tyquan Thornton draft, the Pierre Strong draft, that bad draft.
It is interesting. It's it's a way that you want to kind of send your message without being direct to those guys in the front office. That's a way to do it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's a kind of a, and I can see, you know what, it's almost a smooth kind of like Vrabel just going, I'm gonna say it like that's a rat. Like he was like not happy with it.
Oh, yeah.
It sends a strong message to, and so they will think twice before they do something like that again.
And I also want to continue to praise him for what I believe he is. He's smart. He's calculated. I think he says what he wants to say. I don't think he's a Gerard Mayo. I didn't really mean to use the word rat. No, no, no. He thinks there's a rat.
Yep.
Like that's maybe, was he a little more honest than maybe he wanted to be? But like he believes there's a rat in the building. And I don't actually think that's a good thing for this organization if we haven't played a game yet and he's trying to sniff out rats.
It is interesting. And I think you're right. And maybe you hope it's not the first of what's, if there's a lot of like little politicking behind the, because everyone wants to feel valued and like, especially to the owner.
Right.
Like that they're important, that what they do there is valuable. And so there's going to be little power plays that go on behind the scenes. This might be the first one that we kind of maybe, it's made public. That's a public kind of thing that he is doing to the front office.
And if it's a power play between your two most important figureheads of the organization under ownership, which is Vrabel and Wolf, already in 2-3 weeks before the first week.
But that's Kraft's. That's what he does. He you gotta, if you're gonna be here, Vrabel, you gotta take my guy. That was the deal, and so. That's just how Kraft is. He's got to have his guys on the inside.
Would he
Can
be
I pose
willing?
Another guy?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I don't really want to say this because I like this guy
Tom
a lot.
Tom Brady.
No.
Okay.
Is there one other person that some people don't necessarily believe was fully and wholly Mike Vrabel's hire? Maybe he runs the offense?
Josh?
Oh.
He's also involved with wide receivers and might have knowledge of different wide receiver things. And
okay, to what end, though? I don't know.
Okay. That's why I was... But I'm just saying, if we're kind of talking about people...
Who's not fully 100% Vrabel.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Most people are Vrabel's guys.
Right. He's
brought
more
him
the
in.
Head coach of the offense.
Yeah, and... Been
Kraft's
here,
head coach of the offense.
Been here twice before.
Sure.
And lives down the street and has a good relationship with the owner and was doing documentaries last season during the year while he wasn't even a member of the organization.
That'd be way better if it's Elliot.
I agree. It's
in
way
our,
better.
In our little dream world.
Just throwing things out there.
Yeah, I
also,
hear
you. You just underplayed it. You said it's a... two figureheads butting heads.
Yeah.
If this is a power play, it's not between Wolf and Vrabel, in my opinion.
It's between Vrabel and Kraft.
Yes.
With Wolf.
So it's the two most important people in the organization right now.
Yeah.
Great.
The head coach MVP of the offseason and the owner.
That's this is going well.
That's a flex. That's a flex to the owner.
Absolutely. Well done. Well done, Mike Vrabel. We appreciate it. If anything, it's Friday content on the radio for WEEI Afternoons. 617-779-7937. What did you think of Mike Vrabel's rat comments yesterday, which came after other comments questioning reports that are out there around this team and people false reports, reading reports that weren't right, internet reports, AI reports, all of that. Mike Vrabel doesn't seem real happy with the reports surrounding his football team, and he may not be happy with his roster. Mike Vrabel talked about trying to improve the roster in the coming weeks. It's cutdowns, it's trades. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.